Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Wow, what a turnaround. Things you never thought you'd see. Fulton County, raided by the FBI and Tulsi Gabbard's DNI. That was weird. That was probably not in it. That's what really got my attention. Now, keep in mind, Fulton County is where Trump was dragged into, humiliated with that mugshot by the crooked prosecutor, Fannie Willis, who was herself, it turns out, a criminal and a fraudster. Why? For accusing them of election fraud in a phone call to Brad Raffensperger. They built a RICO case around it, basically RICO-style case, I should say, because RICO laws are federal. At least that was what they were going to put him in prison on. In fact, they'd already gotten intimidated several Trump administration officials or Trump campaign officials to plead guilty to things they didn't really do. What was the idea? Well, Trump was trying to overturn the election by saying that they broke the law. Oh, they did break the law. Now, how do we know they broke the law in Fulton County? It's a heavily Democrat county. Well, one man fought for 5 years, FOIA, to get ballots he should have been handed upon request. Ballot histories, zero tapes, and all of it. Fought for 5 long years. If you remember me screaming and yelling, I was very angry at Donald Trump for a long time because he raised $200 million off the election fraud. Remember? And I said, like, why aren't you fighting in these states? Why aren't you fighting in Georgia? So some poor guy had to raise the money on a GoFundMe account, spent $15,000 by the time he's done, but he got it. Not Trump, him. And I do not understand for the life of me why it wasn't Trump. We could have done this years before. They did not release it until after the statute of limitations because they know they broke the law. Specifically, what broke the law? Fulton County failed to verify signatures on 148,000 ballots. If you want to know why, go watch the video I have up on my X feed. And you will see ballots, ballot scans of individual ballots that are clearly duplicates. It couldn't be more obvious. The bubbles are the exact same shape. The signatures are the same shape. The handwriting is the same. So that's why they failed to verify the signatures. Nobody wanted to sign off on it because it was fraud. Failed to verify the signatures for 148,000 ballots. Missing 380,000 ballot images. Oh, I bet they are. And Fulton County attorney admits they violated state law when they certified 315,000 early votes that lacked poll workers' signatures. So I'm really glad this guy, this patriot, went and did all this work. And Trump didn't do anything inappropriate with the $200 million, but he didn't fight this. I don't understand why he didn't, but he did. Shame on him. But I'm glad somebody did it. Unfortunately, they wouldn't release it till after the statute of limitations. So what they're thinking is there's federal laws violated here. Now, go look at the warrant. Here's where this gets interesting, okay? They're pulling all the stuff you would expect at this point. One of the things they didn't have was signatures on the zero tapes. That means we verify. They also didn't have the pictures. You've got to take basically an internal picture and sign with a signature saying, hey, we verify, we turn the votes back to zero. In other words, if you don't turn it back to zero, they're called the zero tapes. Then when the voting starts, you could already have 15,000 votes on there for Joe Biden. Yeah, it's a problem, isn't it? So they're going after all of that and the voter rolls from the 2020 general election, from absentee early voting in person, and other voter roll information. To whom an absentee ballot was issued, from whom an absentee ballot was received, or who participated in advance voting on election day voting. I had to raid the place to get that because they're refusing to turn it over. And some of it this guy got, and that forced the admission under oath by the county attorney, the election board attorney, that, yeah, okay, we did break the law. Yeah, over 100,000 times. But who cares? We're Democrats. Here's where this gets super interesting. And my eyebrows went up yesterday. I said, Tulsi Gabbard is there? That's a big deal because she is the Democrats are wetting their pants this morning. She's the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, top spy in the country. She runs what is essentially a fusion center. So she sees all of the intel from all agencies, GSA, NSA, CIA, FBI, so that stuff doesn't fall between the cracks. So she sees the stuff that's international and the stuff that's national. So, you know, the CIA is not supposed to be operating on our soil and yeah, like that. So she sees all of it. Why would the DNI be there with the FBI? And then you read this and you find out. The warrant authorizes a review of electronic storage media, electronically stored information seized or copies pursuant to this warrant, and all electronic data may be conducted by the government personnel assisting in the investigation. They're also getting the electronic instrumentalities. What does that mean? What are they getting? Not just the ballots, which we know broke the law. No. What they're doing is you go pull the NSA, which takes every single thing that comes across the internet, across the wires and captures it. And then you compare the record to the voting machine. That's what they're doing. They're taking all the electronic data. Tulsi Gabbard can see what went in. If there was any interference from the outside, you match it up with what is on the inside. That's why they want that. That's why she is involved there. Why? She is the only person or the only agency that can see everything that crossed the wires. And by the wires, I mean the internet cables, the connectivity. That's why she's there. There's no other reason for her to be there. If you're a Democrat, you are peeing in your pants this morning over this. Now, what did the former head of intelligence for Maduro and Chavez, who is in a prison in Texas, tell us? You could click through the article in the Miami Herald and see this. Dallas Morning News also published his letter to Trump. He wrote a letter to Trump a couple months ago. And he said, look, among the other things I was doing, running drug gangs in your country, Trende Aragua, terrorist activities I was funding. He said, I developed the software that steals elections. And he said, we stole elections not only in Venezuela, both for Maduro and Chavez. He said it was so good. We started an election software company and we started stealing other elections for leftists, too, in Central and South America. I'll put the links for all of this in the sources section of the podcast. That particular software, that Venezuelan software, also ended up inside election machines in America. He said, fascinating. Read this article. He wanted Trump to know. Now, he's a defector. He left Venezuela on his own, and we caught up with him later. Prosecuted him, and that's why he's in the jail. So he sent Trump this letter, didn't ask him for anything, and he told him how they stole the elections. The most chilling part to me about the letter, I don't know, maybe he made it up, was where he said, now, I want you to know some of your elections were stolen. Not all, some of your elections were stolen. If you wanted to find out if that was true, you know who you'd send in there? Tulsi Gabbard. She'd look at both sides. The input across the wires, across the cables, the internet cables. NSA captures everything that travels on them. And they can look and see if it matches up with the hardware. That is assuming they haven't destroyed it all and what records we're able to get. See if we can paint a complete picture. Folks, this is fantastic. Because they're going to try to steal that 28 election. They can't do it in the same way they did this last one, but this is going to fill them with fear. It's going to make it harder because they know we're watching now. And I mean really watching if Tulsi Gabbard's involved, watching where it counts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I actually suggested this a while ago. This is exactly what I would do. In all the chaos this week in the coverage, ICE, Minneapolis, all the other crazy things going on, Kash Patel, and we give him a hard time when he messes up, head of the FBI, did something right. He did exactly what I would do. And it worked beautifully because nobody noticed. 15 top FBI officials who not only went after Donald Trump, but broke the law going after everybody in the Republican ecosystem. Hundreds of people were being illegally spied upon, including Kevin McCarthy. Soon as he became speaker, they started spying on him. In a clear effort, they already planned to put Trump in prison, thought they were going to succeed at it, and figured they'd go ahead and finish off the Republican Party with kangaroo court trials or bankrupt them. And folks, they went after everybody, not just the leadership. I mean, they even went after the Attorney General's Association. They went after law firms. They went after pollsters. They went after Charlie Kirk. They were surveilling his organization. I mean, it was crazy. None of it legal. All of it approved by Boasberg because they could just go to him and get what they wanted. Well, there were 15 key high-ranking officials who did that. Kash Patel fired them all. News broke Monday. Did you hear it? No, this is exactly how you clean out the FBI. This is a smart thing the Democrats would do. I've been kind of terrified he's not doing this at scale. This is exactly what we should do. If somebody gets shot, if something happens, even if it's a good thing for us, it's a bad thing for us, doesn't matter. If that's swirling in the news, fire 15 more. Fire 15 more after that. Fire another 30 after that. Take off the top tier. Because folks, you got to understand something. You know who's in the FBI? Well, the people that were hired by James Comey and Robert Mueller, and then the crooked Christopher Wray, who, by the way, lied multiple times to Congress. Who do you think they're hiring? Oh, that's some good American patriot. No, if you're a good American patriot, you're not getting hired if they figure that out. No, it's the family members and friends of Democrats. So this is exactly what we need to do. Because let me tell you what, we need to totally take the top off this monster. I think we need to go down past middle management at a minimum. So not as many as I would like, but everybody who persecuted us with Arctic Frost, they're gone. It's Thursday. The news broke Monday and no one noticed. This is exactly how we do this. Now go faster. The Democrat Party and their media tell us that Alex Pretty was a peaceful protester, merely a nurse looking out for his neighbors. But the video that just came out shows something different. I'll just bottom line it. Alex Pretty was a monster, goaded into doing what none of us would dare to do if we get mad at law enforcement because we do not have liberal privilege, spitting at ICE agents, knocking out the taillight of their car. Can you imagine doing such a thing? He did it with a gun in his waistband. You can clearly see that in the video. The news company that recorded it points it out. And yet, not only did he not get shot or killed, he wasn't even arrested after he was detained. Their behavior, the government's, was the model of tolerance for intolerable behavior. What I wonder is if Alex Pretty, who is both a martyr and a monster, realized he wasted his life working for Democrat warlords who lied to him. Joe Rogan, the podcaster, seems to best understand what Alex Pretty gave his life for, a distraction, to be a human distraction from mass fraud.
There's a lot of people that don't understand what's going on and why riots only in Minneapolis. And why riots in the place where there's an ungodly amount of fraud that has been discovered.
Coincidentally, right around the same time.
Exactly. Like instantaneously afterwards, the narrative completely changes. Everybody forgets about the fraud. Now all anybody cares about is ICE and fascists and Nazis.
Yeah.
And you know what a color revolution is.
Of course.
And for people that don't, it's a coordinated effort to cause chaos. And this is a very coordinated thing.
I wonder if Alex Pretty realized that he was risking his life for Democrat warlords who are in danger of going to prison for their fraud. That video from a couple of weeks ago, the one in which he tussled with ICE and ended up with a broken rib, shows he was stalking them, and violently. In that video, he commits a felony worth 10 years in prison, but walks away without so much as being arrested. If only I had that kind of liberal privilege. But fast forward to the shooting. And this is why I say Alex Pretty was a martyr for the liars, the warlords of the Democrat Party. Fast forward to the shooting. It occurred at 2614 Nicolet Avenue, which is a very interesting address. If you look at Data Republican's Twitter feed, she was a member of the original Doge team. She pulled the address, the one you can see behind Alex Pretty in the video. Located at that address, according to federal databases, are 184 NPIs, most of them Somali owned, all of them getting millions of dollars in federal grants. Yeah, those businesses. Now, cross-reference that with Fox News' reporting. In this article, the far-left network that helped put Alex Pretty in harm's way, then made him a martyr. And you'll see, obsessively, the Signal chat group put in 26 entries before the shooting about that very address or the area right around it. They were in a panic because ICE agents had shown up, two of them, at Glam Doll Donuts right there. They share a parking lot with the business. And they were dispatching what they called rapid responders. They were worked up, agitated. Why? They were protecting Somali fraud. That's why. They were protecting Democrat fraud. Look at the building behind him in the video. If you pull the footprint, you can clearly see there's no way 18 real businesses could fit in it. Never mind 184. They were doing the same thing they did to Dr. Mehmet Oz the week before and Jim O'Neill, the number two in charge of Health and Human Services. As soon as they pulled up to the building that Nick Shirley had profiled, $400 million a year, and it doesn't look like any business could be located there. It's run down, windows broken. As soon as they pulled up to investigate the fraud, two high-ranking government officials, Mehmet Oz is the head of Medicaid Medicare Centers. He runs those programs. He was immediately surrounded by violent leftists, menacing them. That's the word Jim O'Neill used. Boxed in, they were spat at, threatened, never did get to the front door, and they were followed for the rest of the time they were there in Minneapolis. That sounds a lot like Alex Pretty's MO, doesn't it? Spitting, surrounding, menacing. Except this time, he was deployed to the very spot, folks, with 184 NPS. You know what I wonder about Alex Pretty? He was probably hepped up on the fake Democrat propaganda. Did he think he was protecting Somalis from racists who disliked them because they were black? Did he know about the fraud? Did he realize how fraudulent it is in Minnesota? How much money changes hands? Folks, just a couple of stats. About a week ago, Kristi Noem, head of the Department of Homeland Security, tweeted that the fraud total they think at this time, just for Minnesota, is $19 billion. They also said, this was J.D. Vance when he was there about a week ago, that they think that about half the Medicaid money, the federal Medicaid money that goes into that state, is stolen. The Federalist nailed it in this article about Trump's compromise in Minnesota. More cities rebel against ICE after Trump's compromise, talking about how emboldened Democrat leaders are. Democrats across the country are already taking the Minneapolis blueprint and running with it because what happened there demonstrates leftist insurgents can just orchestrate anti-ICE chaos and rioting until the federal government relents. But we'll see what Tom Homer will do.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.